We're going to talk to Jeremy Garrett today about several things. Jeremy, as you know, is a founding member of the fabulous Infamous String Dusters. We're going to talk about their last album, Rise Sun, hear some music from that. We're also going to talk to Jeremy about his latest solo release, Circles. We'll hear some music from that. And then we're going to discuss the current situation involving musicians, a lot of people everywhere. But as I said earlier, I deal with musicians and music on this show. And for now, I'm going to talk to musicians about the impact of the COVID-19 shutdown, I'll call it that. And Jeremy always has some interesting insight. Fabulous guest, always. My guest, a very good friend and a frequent contributor to Unreal Bluegrass, Jeremy Garrett. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. Nice to talk to you again. We've dodged each other for a while. You've been on several times and always had good conversation about things that the Dusters are doing and also some solo projects, and I think today we might be able to hit on a couple of those things. You have a new solo album that's out. I think it's out and available now, called Circles, correct?
That's right, yep. It's been out since the end of January, so not too long.
Not too long.
Out there in the world a little bit, yeah.
And the latest from the Infamous String Dusters actually came out last year, and it's called Rise Sun. It's on Tape Time, which is the Dusters label.
That's correct.
Yeah, there's 13 songs on it. It's a typical, let's start with that one first. And I want to talk to you also about some current affairs, if we can sound like we're back in school again, a current affairs edition. The Rise Sun album is a typically atypical String Dusters album. Here's what I'll try to get to. I've always felt, and you probably even echoed this back to me, that the String Dusters have, I was searching for a word earlier today, almost a spiritual connection to nature and to the goodness of the environment. Tell me if I'm laying this on too heavy, but I kind of feel like that every time I listen to some of these songs, like for instance, on this album, the opening cut, Planets, there are a lot of songs on this album that are sort of like bigger than just songs. They're more about nature and humanity issues. There's some very personal songs on this, but can you help me describe what I think I always hear when I hear a new String Dusters album?
Well, sure. You know, we with each project, I guess, you know, the goal is to dig in a little deeper and not only musically speaking, but also content-wise and what kind of songs and what messages you're singing about. So, you know, this one we really tried hard to dig as deep as we could to what's going on in our environment, in the world around us, and the attitudes of mankind, and just, you know, some of these deeper thought philosophies that we've had time to sort of discuss back and forth. But we kind of wanted to bring the material together in a project, you know, and we tried to give those messages and that content the same sort of attention and intensity with the music that we put to those, you know, the messages and the stories and the songs.
Yeah, several of the songs are personal. I mean, I don't mean personal to individual singers or writers, but they're interpersonal. They're more like personal relationship songs. And some of them are clearly just about bigger topics, which I know that the String Dusters have always been, we'll say, kind to the environment, and you've always invited that type of opportunity for listeners to also react, and I know that you guys are into nature, which is great. And it comes out, there's this sort of a spiritual connection with the band, and it has been forever. How many albums is this for you guys?
I've honestly lost count, somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 or 8.
I thought it was that many. I saw the original when you guys were first getting started, and I think your first album had 17 cents. That was the Chris Jones song that. Was that the first one? I saw you on tour behind that one, and I want to think that might have been the first one.
I don't know if it was the first one, actually. It might have been the second record or the third. It all sort of blends together for me, you know.
Oh, I know.
My head so far into what I'm doing now.
I know.
What the art is bringing me right now, you know. It's sometimes hard to look back.
And I learned this talking to artists that, you know, it's always where you are. And for me, I try to put some context around it. Sometimes I surprise artists by saying, hey, what were you doing in 1963? I don't mean to do that, but I know of the band's history because I've seen you forever.
Sure.
And I've seen as you continue to progress. The band always has, and I don't want to get away without talking about the membership, the band always has absolutely virtuoso instrumentals. There is a one instrumental tune on Rise Sun. It's the Cloud Valley, which is one of the longer cuts on the album, which if anyone thinks that it's just about message or sentiment or beat or whatever, the Infamous String Dusters are a top to bottom first-class instrumental unit.
Well, you know, I'm so fortunate to get to play in this configuration, I feel like, you know, and I've put a lot of attention and study to what it is that I do, you know, to bring what I have to the table at the highest level that I can. And each one of us tries to do that. And, you know, it just makes everything so easy in a way. It makes life easy. It makes, you know, playing the music easy. It makes creating the music easy. I mean, not that we don't have, you know, hot points from time to time or whatever, things that kind of hold us up, but we're always able to work through them together. We've been a band so long now, you know, and all those records, we still do all the songs off all those records, or most of it anyways. And, you know, so that's probably why it kind of runs together for me in a little, you know, a little bit. But it also, you know, it's just one of those things. We feel like we've tweaked our message a little deeper each and every time, you know, and this is, in my opinion, probably the thickest musically sounding record that we've done, you know, as far as blending songs from one to another. And sort of, you know, when we recorded the project, it was recorded in order, so all of those things sort of flowed, you know, pretty naturally, you know. And
I did not know that. I don't hear that very often, but that's interesting that you did that.
Yeah, and so, you know, we created those transitions from, there's a few songs that go right into each other on the record, and so, you know, some of those we just created right there on the fly, you know, to try to figure out how we could get from one song to the next artistically without, you know, disrupting the listener, you know, and trying to do those transitions, like, much like we've, you know, heard, you know, Fish or the Grateful Dead do on some things, you know. So, you know, we're just putting our own spin on it. But it feels like the most musically thick, you know, record that we've done.
I think that's a good way to that's a great description. And you mentioned the all-in-one recording in order. The very first tune, Rise Sun, which is just one of my killer favorites. I probably play it more than anything else on the album. There is what I would take to be hand claps. I can't tell what that sound is, but is it claps or stomps or what starts the song?
Yeah, it's hand claps, and okay. I think there are some stomps and maybe even a tambourine in there somewhere.
And then the very last tune, Truth and Love, as it fades away. Don't I hear that? Don't I hear a more quiet version of that as the song is ending?
Yeah, right. So we're trying to blend that whole record together, you know, and then sort of tie it together from front to back, you know, in that way.
There are, yeah, okay, good. I thought that's what I heard, and I thought, I wonder if the concept was related or was just so much fun to do that you decided to do it again on the last song that you left. But that makes sense. There are also, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Jeremy Garrett, a solo artist and also a forever member of the Infamous String Dusters, one of the most powerful bands in music, period. I don't have to put you in a genre to put that period on that description. On this Rise Sun album, I count Another Night, Long Time Going, Carry Me Away. Almost those tempos would fit very easily into what a casual or more casual listener might describe as, oh, that's a bluegrass song.
Yeah, well, we did kind of reach a little further on some of our grassier numbers this time. Me in particular, I feel like just that was a phase I've been feeling, was to kind of return to some of my musical roots, so to speak, you know, and kind of delve into that bluegrass nature that I kind of just have from being in the music for so long, you know. But, you know, that's where it carried me away. But I wrote that song with Kim Ritchie, you know, who's more of an Americana artist and stuff. And so she dug the vibe of the melody I was kind of laying down, and we were both feeling, you know, that's honestly a song about how we felt about politicians on that day, which
I can tell.
You know, our sort of, you know, mm-hmm. I guess, protest song of sorts. I mean, it's non-confrontational, but that's kind of how we were feeling about
it. It comes across that way.
Yeah, so, you know, we delve deep into some of those, you know, melodies and the way to sort of support those with fiddle and banjo to kind of give them more of that, you know, old-timey vibe, and that we really were happy with how that came out on the record. You know, it was like more roots in that way instead of that slick Nashville sound that we've also been sort of you know, accused of having, you know.
Well, you know, that's not something I ever thought of with the String Dusters. And I guess it's because I've seen you so many times live that I don't attribute any sort of a slick Nashville production quality, because I know what you're doing on stage, which is jaw-dropping to a live audience. You guys absolutely take over a live audience every time I've seen you. It's they're years after a short introduction. If they don't know you by the time it starts and with shortly into it, they understand they're in for a top flight show from all angles. Well, you mentioned Kim Ritchie, who I know of her music, and I've actually seen her play before. And then you talk about bluegrass, but you're also kind of a funky blues guy by nature, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I mean, I have a lot of blues in my soul, I guess you could say. You know, my mom was a big fan of different soul singers, and you know, so I got a lot of listening from her point of view while my dad was gone. He's the bluegrass musician of the family. So, you know, I felt like had equal influence on me in that way. And, you know, Michael Jackson, Terrence Trent D'Arby, like those kind of people I was listening to a lot. And I feel like that couldn't help but be part of that same influence that, you know, traditional bluegrass had at the side. And I haven't had much opportunity other than to bring that bluesiness into my bluegrass, you know, over the years. But now I'm getting the opportunity to sort of go the other way and actually bring my bluegrass more into the, you know, the funk realm, which is what I've been doing. I've got a full 6-piece funk band with drums and, you know, keyboards and all that kind of stuff that I've been doing some shows with.
Is that what would be more typical of the Circles album?
No, actually, Circles is fully geared towards being an absolute solo record. I only have a couple of guests on that record. One of my really good friends, Josh Schilling, who is a singer and a keyboard player extraordinaire, B3 player, and then another lady by the name of Priska, who sang on the title track, Circles, a little bit with me, and then also on another track. So, you know, it's all geared towards what I can do solo, and I've been going out on the road doing these shows fully solo for a while now. I do about 40 of those a year. And, you know, it's just me and guitar, mandolin, and fiddle, and my songs and my voice and a loop machine. And I bring, you know, the loop machine into play from time to time. And sometimes I'll just do a singer-songwriter style song. You know, it just depends really through the night. But I try to build the show up and down and just utilize the loop as a tool. And that's basically what Circles is geared towards, kind of the singer-songwriter slash loop project.
I want to go back to Rise Sun. I want to talk about Circles a little bit, and then we have other things to talk about. But on your funky side, Wake the Dead, man, that must have felt like you were back home again as far as listening to records and being funky on this album.
Oh, man, you know, I really was, you know, thrilled how that song turned out. I wrote that with Josh Schilling, and, you know, he's a funky, funky man, and to get to sit for a day with him and write songs, we do that from time to time, and we've written a bunch now together, and we're real, you know, tight friends and everything, and so, you know, he really inspired that thing. He was like, man, we need to do something that's kind of got that Grateful Dead vibe, but, you know, has some funkiness to it. And so we just kind of sat around, and that's what we came up with. So
the is Josh Schilling, is he the guy that I first saw coming through? I don't remember the band that he was in when they started doing the Whipping Post.
Yeah, he's been with a band called Mountain Heart.
That's it. They showed up and they started playing the Allman Brothers, and I thought, well, this is unusual. All right, so now I know the guy. I know who the guy is very well.
Super talented guy. Yeah. From, you know, Virginia, and knows what he's doing around the music biz for sure.
Now let's talk about your vocal on Somewhere in Between, because that one bent all over the place and stretched everywhere where it didn't bend.
Well,
you must have been having some fun on that one.
I tried to put my soul into everything I did on that record, as I always do, man. I'd never let up. I try to take it as far as I can, and, you know, I try to marry that line. I'm trying to not to be too dramatic or cheesy, you know, also, and try to be real with what I can do. But I took that record or that song in particular as far as I could, vocally speaking, you know. And it was a tune that a buddy of mine, a real close friend by the name of Daniel Walker, who owns a, you know, club down in Nashville and is also a great musician and singer and writer in his own right. we just gathered around a campfire one night, and that was some, you know, something that we were feeling about, you know, just living in an in-between zone in life and, you know, other things. And it was just like, you know what, it's okay to be there too, you know, if you just, you're just be comfortable with yourself and know that, you know, everything's going to work out, kind of a vibe. And so, you know, it was just something that was heavy on our minds, and I was really feeling it that day in the studio, so I went for it.
You did, and it just kept, as it fades out, you're still there in the moment. That's, I'm talking to Jeremy Garrett, String Dusters, infamous String Dusters, and also various solo projects, but you pretty much, I don't know what else you could have put in, and I guess if they let the tape roll, you would have gone a different way, but that shows a real great expanse of your feeling. And I will say this too, for the listeners, you don't have to say this, I know from Jeremy Garrett, and I know from seeing the band, that they put everything into every performance. Yeah, there's nothing held back. When you see them live, and when you hear on the record, you can recognize the effort being put in, that there's nothing left back in the studio or back on the bus.
Well, you know, it's a page right out of Jerry Garcia's book, and I always have personally lived this way my whole life, especially when playing music, but when I heard him say this, it made perfect sense to me. Because he made that statement, you know, play for your life.
Oh.
And that's always kind of rang true to me ever since I heard him say that, you know, and that's what we do, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not, it's a hobby, it's fun, and it's, you know, all these other things too, but it's also, you know, for me, it's my life. You know, I've basically devoted my entire life to playing music. I started playing fiddle when I was 3 and singing probably before then. And so it's always been there, and it's always just been that staple for me. But it's also, you know, what I do best. You know, everybody has their thing that they do, and that it's music is mine, you know.
Jeremy, we talked a little bit about your most recent solo album, which is out now, Circles, and I would like for you to, as in the middle of this, as we're progressing through our discussion, if there's a tune you would like to cut in at this point from Circles, tell me what it is, and you can introduce it, and then we'll come back and finish our discussion.
Well, sure. I guess let's start with a track that's the second track on the record called I Can't Lay Your Lovin' Down, that I wrote with a couple of buddies, Josh Schilling and John Weisberger. And I just love the vibe of the tune. It kind of captures a spirit of, like, dire straits that I really love. And I just love what Billy Hume, you know, did to capture the guitar on that particular cut. But it kind of showcases some of the looping and stuff that I can do as a, you know, bluegrass looper, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I will tell you this. Unreal Bluegrass listeners, you've heard that song if you listen to every show, because I played it before. So let's go to I Can't Lay Your Lovin' Down. We'll be right back to talk to Jeremy Garrett, one of my favorite guests. There you go. That was Jeremy Garrett from Circle. That's a lot of what Jeremy's about. There's a lot in that album, and it's all Jeremy, basically. And he plays all the instruments. The looping thing, I think, is a fascinating concept. I don't know how. I tell you who absolutely blew my mind with it. I've seen it a lot. When Casey Dreeson started just living inside that thing, and it became like an appendage to him, and his fiddle stuff that he would do was just... And then he did a TED Talk where he explained how it connected to the birth of his child.
Yeah, you know, Casey is an incredible, you know, way paver for a lot of that stuff, for, you know, looping and, you know, creating different soundscapes with the fiddle. And Daryl Anger,
yeah, sure.
You know, others as well. Jean-Luc Ponty was one of the first I was aware of.
I guess,
know?
He was the first one, really. That's a good save. I guess he was probably the first one we would have heard, you know, in public or in records or something like that.
Probably, but, you know, there's others as well. And,
yeah.
You know, as technology goes on, you know, these things are getting better and better. And, you know, even... someone like me, who's very computer challenged, can you know, implement some of these pedals and loops and other technology. If you just take some time and sort of practice with them, you know, it can be done. I feel like, you know, for me to use the loop machine, I try to use it as another instrument. Like, I try to get it to enhance what it is that I do, which
right.
is play guitar and fiddle and sing. And some mandolin too, but, you know, and some, you know, I can do some soundscapes and stuff with the loop that's not possible playing by yourself. You know, to watch a fiddle player for 2 hours of a show, you know, I'm not sure everybody wants to do that. And if they heard that was going down, they'd probably
they might
be like,
not show up.
Do I really want to see that? I don't
right.
know. So you kind of have to, as one guy, come up with a little bit more than that, and the loop machine sort of allows you to have a way to do that, you know. And I've been also inspired by guys like Keller Williams, who's in the jamgrass world, you know, and the stuff that he's been able to accomplish. And I feel like, you know, the loop can be cheesy, and you got to be, you know, it's up to you, I guess. You know, I try to have a certain style with it and try not to be too much with it, you know. I try to, like I said, just use it to enhance what it is that I'm trying to do. Give myself a, like, guitar, you know, scape to play over on the fiddle, because I play fiddle, you know, that's my main thing. And but, you know, just all fiddle isn't really going to make a show, I don't think, you know. So I like to mix it up, you know, at least for me, you know.
You use, let me say this. You use the looping, the technique and everything, not to be a focus of, but to be an enhancement.
That's right. Yeah. That's kind of my approach.
Yeah, I think so.
And you know, I try that anyway. So I hope
I think it comes off that way. I mean, you can. It's like if you get a new toy. If you're a musician, you get a new toy, and maybe you dabble with it. And geez, well, how many guitar players have gotten their first wah wah pedal? And
sure.
You know, but it's the taste involved and moving it into a piece of music that, and I think you do it very well. Listen, I want to talk to you about. We're in the most bizarre situation ever in this country, and it certainly affects a lot of people, restaurant workers, people that work in bars, a lot of workers. But one of the most, I think, daunting, especially since you and the String Dusters, your band, your stuff you do solo in the String Dusters are road warrior bands, and now you're in a situation where there's not going to be crowds, so they're shutting down venues, and gigs are being lost, which is a critical space.
Yeah, you know, I won't lie. It's not great. It's not good at all.
And I don't mean to bring it up.
But it is, it is very necessary, you know, and we all have to do our part. You know, we were out on tour, and it's hard to get good information, you know, especially these days, in my opinion, from the top even. And it's so to get good, clear information on what people should do to help their fellow men and women out in this country, you know, so that everybody's not, you know, subjected to this thing, you know, it's hard to make that decision. But we were out on tour, and it just wasn't feeling right because, you know, we have deep fingers into a lot of the pulse holders in the world, you know, like the agents and the managers and that sort of thing that have things going on all around the world, you know, and we're getting information back from those folks. And we could tell this was going to be a big deal. And, you know, we probably played even more shows than we should have, but we were able to make the decision at some point to just say, look, we got to stop. Everybody has to stop, and we all got to just sit back as the world and, you know, check things out. And this is a first for our generation for sure. And, you know, I think in a way, you know, there's a lot of good things that could come from this. You know, this is a good time to have some downtime. I've never had any downtime.
Well, that's why I thought I'd bring it up with you, because I know you're always, well, you used to travel in your life and travel in your living, you were always mobile somewhere. So
yeah, and the
now
way
you
that
can't.
Now the way that music has been set up in the music business, it opened a really great opportunity for this failure to happen, because there's really no other income coming in besides these live shows. There's a little bit of, you know, streaming revenue and whatnot, and hopefully that will all get better. But you know, it all comes from the live shows.
It does.
Those all go away. It's not only us. I mean, it's our crew, and it's the people that work those venues. It's the bars now and the restaurants and all these things. And we all just are going to have to, you know, unfortunately, suck it up and just sort of take it on the chin. And hopefully we'll be back to business. If we're all shut things down, then this will be short. If people keep dragging this out, it's going to be a while.
And Jeremy, when you mentioned the business that kind of set it up, what you're talking about, I think, I'm guessing that, you can't buy CDs anywhere unless you go to a show. If there's no shows, not only does the band not get the revenue for being paid for the gig, but they're also not going to sell any product anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, who knows really what's going to happen, but hopefully people can figure this out and get this shut down really, really fast, and we'll be back to business as normal, or even, you know, maybe with a little bit of extra fire in our belly, you know, because of this.
Yeah, well, so let me ask you this. This is a very new thing. I mean, we're talking not long after the brakes were put on hold everywhere. So what is it, what's going to be the approach now to someone like you? You're a solo artist, a member of the infamous String Dusters, so now you've had not much time to think about it, but so what's going to be your approach to promoting or selling or surviving the fact that tours have been canceled. Have you given it thought enough to even be able to put it together?
I mean, of course. You know, I mean, I'm a businessman as well as a musician, and so are all the string dusters. And so we definitely, you know, keep our eye on these kind of things and have, you know, contingency plans and that sort of thing. At our level, we kind of have to. We have a lot of people that, you know, work with us and for us that also make their living. You know, so we can't be irresponsible, you know, business owners in that way. So we've done the best we can to build the strongest business that we can. We have an incredible fan base that has been more than supportive through all this and reaching out to figure out ways that they can help, you know. And, hey, we're okay for now, you know. It's like we may need some help. We're probably all going to need some help in this country at some point. So hopefully, you know, everyone will get the help that they need. It's not just, you know, us musicians, you know. So it's going to affect every business. But,
I agree,
you know,
with you.
It is what it is. And, you know, we all have to do our part to keep our fellow people safe, you know, especially the people that are more susceptible to the COVID, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to bring that to bring everything down, but I do think that it's so new as we're talking, it's really just kind of kicking into effect everywhere. And I thought, well, let's see what Jeremy Garrett has to say about it.
Yeah, you know, it's we're going to try to figure out other ways, I think, and musicians are some of the most creative people on the planet Earth, so I have no doubt that somebody really creative is going to rise and shine among all of us and come up with some brilliant idea, and maybe a few of them, you know. It seems like a lot of people are doing some online stuff.
I was going to say that I think that will develop, and that will get better done also, because right now it's in other words, there'll be more production value. I think maybe if this lasts long enough that you'll be able to click on,
you know. I think so, too. Some of it was a little primitive. You know, it's had time to be around a little while.
Right.
We've all done, like, the stage it shows and stuff, you know, like a few years ago or whatever. But, you know, hopefully those platforms will get better and more creative and more things can happen with them. I know the String Dusters are already discussing ways that we can be involved in trying to do some of these things. And we're actually going to be bringing content very soon.
Well, good.
So you also
can allow, we'll use the word patrons, to make contributions or payments or whatever. I see that happen a lot.
Yeah, you know, there's several great organizations out there where people, you know, that really need assistance can get the assistance that they need, you know. And you know, sweetrelief.org is one of them that stands out in my mind, and it's one that we've also contributed to, you know, through some of our shows and different things. So, you know, there's really great organizations out there you can donate to. You can, you know, if you have the means, you can buy the band's product. I'm trying to sell CDs all day long. I was trying to do that before this happened.
So right.
I haven't really changed my trajectory in that regard. You know, I feel like, you know, the one cool thing about music and streaming is that in a quarantine situation, you can stream all you want. It doesn't matter. So hopefully people will, you know, maybe get into checking out some new records and take a browse through, you know, some of the String Dusters and my solo stuff.
That might and by the way, GarrettGrass.com?
That's right.
Okay, and then I figure the infamous String Dusters, if they just type in infamous String Dusters, they're going to go right to there. And that there should be product, there should be albums, there should be merchandise available. And it's very well done. And so, Jeremy Garrett, before I let you go, I want you to introduce one more cut, and we'll play that as we say goodbye to you, and we'll let the audience hear one more. Your choice, I don't care.
Sure. Well, how about let's play the last track off my record, and I put this track last because I feel it's a good closer. It just kind of, it's like a melancholy style song, but it kind of just uplifts you and hopefully leaves you feeling happy at the end. It's called The Highway.
It's a deal. I'll play it. Listen, man, thanks so much. I'll see you around, Jeremy Garrett. I've always enjoyed your music, enjoy your contributions to this radio show. I know you're always out there doing good somewhere, so we'll all wait for this to blow over, and I'm sure we'll find you somewhere live performing, and everything will come back to normal as much as normal is going to be.
Oh, yeah, we'll all get back to normal.
Yeah.
I'm sure of that.
All right, man. Listen,
Keith. Really appreciate your time and what you do as well, Steve.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much. Listen, I'll catch you down the road.
All right. Talk to you soon.
See you, bye.